Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. You may be seated. The Easter accounts are very focused upon those disciples, upon the people around Jesus, and how they experienced the resurrection. Later today, this morning, you will hear of the women of Mark, terrified into silence. John's gospel speaks about Mary and then Peter and John. The lessons usually have something about how the apostles of Jesus are to gather together to meet again in Galilee or so forth. We'll hear about that, of course, next week as they gather together Easter evening. There is a shift in focus. As Christ Jesus is raised from the dead, and now the focus becomes about the message of His reconciliation, the message of His accomplished salvation, His atonement between God and man, and how that will now fall to these weak apostles who believe but do not understand. Even John, in his own gospel, mentions that he believed, but he very quickly follows it up with, he didn't understand. The Holy Spirit is given so that they would understand. We will celebrate that gift in 50 days at Pentecost, but in these resurrection accounts, it is important to see these distinctions. Jesus tells the women to go and tell, to speak to the apostles, share the message with them. It is the apostles who will be given the mandate to then publicly preach the gospel throughout the world. That this is what St. Paul confirms in our epistle lesson today in 1 Corinthians 15. That the personal sharing of the good news of Christ crucified and raised from the dead is given to all, every one of you, men, women, children, all. But that the public preaching of the word is given to select men, in this case the apostles. They are the foundation, and Christ, of course, being the cornerstone. St. Paul explains this well to us. He speaks of his preaching. He speaks of his preaching. The content of his preaching, of first most importance, is that which I first received. Nowhere. And in no way is a preacher given to preach his own visions or revelations. No, of utmost importance, the preacher is to hand over that which he has been given. That is, by its very definition, what an apostle, one who is sent with a certain authority, is supposed to do. And so the apostles have given us what they received. Christ had taught them, the Spirit reminded them, and they took that and they preached it. They used the Old Testament, they used the teachings of Jesus, but they did not come up with new things. As St. Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance which I also received. He says this repeatedly throughout his epistles. This is to guard us, of course, from all glory-seeking hirelings who would misuse God's name to broadcast their own imaginations. No, preachers are to give what they receive, and by this they serve. The service of preaching, that is, of giving the message of Christ, Him crucified, Him raised from the dead, is miraculous. That preaching is given to deliver the gospel. That is, the epistle lesson says today, the gospel makes you to stand and it saves you. That preaching the gospel creates faith. Oftentimes you will hear other folks say that we need to share the gospel with others. They're right. We do. And we all do this within our callings. But the question does need to be asked every once in a while, what is the gospel? St. Paul summarizes it beautifully in our epistle lesson today. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The gospel is what Christ has done for us. It is about what Scripture says and about what Jesus did, fulfilling the Word of God. St. Paul even makes sure to mention the grace of God and how he was unworthy of what Christ had done for him, a former persecutor of Christ and of his church. But that too is the result of the gospel of Christ. It's what it does. St. Paul was not always the great preacher of the gospel that we know him. The grace of God was shown to him and it changed him. That's why he pleads that the Corinthians not receive the preaching of the gospel in vain. Paul knew that the gospel could do firsthand. He knew the changes it could bring. He knew about forgiveness and life and salvation. Twice, he says, in accordance with the Scriptures, Jesus fulfills the Scriptures. Jesus fulfills God's Word. He died to fulfill that word. He rose to fulfill that word. The word from Isaiah that you heard from chapter 25 this morning is fulfilled in Christ. It is a beautiful passage about the last day that is guaranteed to happen because Christ has risen from the dead. You see, death was the final enemy. In Easter, a living, breathing Christ means that the final enemy is defeated. It says the reproach of the people will be removed. The reproach, that gray, that dark, that gloomy cloud and veil that we know as death, has been removed. In its place, in the lesson from Isaiah, we found there is a feast with Christ Jesus. That on Mount Calvary, Christ Jesus swallowed up death forever, and he did it by dying. And we know this by the good news of this morning, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, just as he said. That your griefs, your tears, the sad moments of missing those who you love, the times when you remember the past with someone, that Jesus has made sure that death does not have the last word. No, the reproach of death is gone. The tears will be wiped away. Sadness will turn to joy, and all gloom will be turned to bright cheer. And in this life, we can only confess this by faith, but we may not understand it. But we have this faith which comes to us from hearing the preaching of Christ. Faith which has been given to you, worked in you by God, that it would not be in vain. And it will not be in vain. For your faith and your hope in what Christ has done will not be disappointed. That's what Isaiah is telling us. That's what Jesus is teaching in the resurrection accounts to his own disciples. That in the face of their fears and despair, Jesus presents himself, living, breathing, eating, speaking. That he is the hope of the world, the hope of the disciples, and your own hope, and your hope in what he has promised will never be put to shame. The resurrection of Jesus means everything for our eternity. It means that the reproach of this life, the shadow, the veil, as Isaiah says it, that it's gone. That just as Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's his promise. That is Scripture. And everything happens in accordance with Scripture. That you have heard the word preached, and by that word you have believed. May you stand in it, and may it never be in vain, that the Lord has spoken. It will be said today, and on that great and glorious day of the resurrection of all, behold, this Jesus is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, and we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, already accomplished, given to us through his word. Salvation by faith in Jesus, that you have been shown that grace, and may his grace toward you never be in vain. Alleluia, Christ is risen.